Welcome to the Specialty Coffee Podcast by Storyline Coffee Roasters. This is season 2, episode number 1, and I am here with my beautiful bride, Amber Ellison, and we are going to tell the story of Storyline. So many of you may have heard bits and pieces from previous episodes about Storyline, about what we do, but we wanted to jump on here together and tell our story and how it all began. So let's waste no time and get right into it. Storyline was actually not Storyline when it first, at the first onset. We actually began as Sip Coffee long, long ago. I think it was 8 or 9 years ago.
Was it really that long ago?
Yeah. I think I've been roasting for 8 years now.
That's wild.
2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 8 years. So it began, me and a buddy were passionate about coffee. We were really into Starbucks Reserve blends, which makes some people cringe hearing the word Starbucks, but hear me out. And we just were passionate about starting a business, and we got a drum that we attached to a drill, and we started roasting green coffee on a barbecue grill in our backyard of my buddy Zach Spector's apartment. Super ghetto setup. We got our green from Sweet Maria's, and we just started giving it out to our friends. And over a couple beers one night, we decided to name it Sip Coffee. So we looked it up on the Colorado State Secretary of State website, found the name, and said, yep, it's great. Let's do it. And we just started giving it away to friends, family. We started selling it a little bit. And that was kind of the very early stages of what was Sip Coffee.
Those were fun stages.
Yeah. we actually were able to get some really good roasts.
They were delicious. Like, it was a good start.
There was one coffee that I'll never forget from that time. It was an Ethiopia Guji. It had really great notes of blueberry, graham cracker. Mm. It tasted like a blueberry muffin. I was like, man, this coffee is legit. And that's when I really realized that this could be a thing, it's possible. And so,
yeah, that's like when we first started believing in something to be passionate about.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yep. Absolutely.
And we were dating.
Yeah.
At that time.
We had just started dating at that time.
Yeah.
So freshies in the business, freshies in dating. And we, then got a connection with our friend Lindsay. Her dad was a principal of a private Christian school who had a Diedrich tabletop roaster. It was a little 2 pounds, right?
Somewhere around that, maybe even 5, but I don't know. It was a smaller
tabletop roaster. Yeah. There were no probes in it. So I remember in the early days, we would roast on that thing and you and Nicole would sit there and we started out every 15 seconds, yeah, would write down, we would tell you the temperature,
yeah,
and the time so that we could then plot a graph.
I should have brought my journals.
It's ridiculous. So, you know, super kind of just rudimentary. We were trying to learn how to roast coffee in those early days. But that did kind of expand our ability to actually do a little bit of wholesale, fulfill more orders.
Wait, refresh my memory. What was the reason to capture every 15 seconds of heat?
We wanted to just get a profile. So we wanted to be able to track a graph like we would with our software now. Because it was super important to be able to figure out, like, hey, we want to make it, you know, we want it to be a little more fruit forward, a little sweeter. What do we need to do to change that? If you're not tracking those metrics,
yeah,
it's really hard to actually and make improvements and adjustments. So, which is, if you're starting out and wanting to roast coffee, I would recommend getting a drum roaster, whether that be, there's a Benmore, I think, a Bullet. There's a couple good drum, like small, easy startup drum roasters. The air poppers are great, but it's not as transferable as understanding your like drop temps and all that kind of stuff that you will then use if you progress to the level of getting an actual larger scale drum roaster. So we then started growing. We did jars.
Well, that's when we went into farmers markets. Was that like the first time we started like growing our business a little bit?
Yep.
So we did jars of coffee, and then we also had a keg of cold brew.
Yep.
Two types. And we would have like people taste the different cold brews, because we had one that was hopped and then one that was just kind of a normal.
Yeah. And so we did a blind taste test. People preferred our hopped cold brew over the regular, which was fun. We did farmers markets, which were
like in the Castle Rock area.
Yeah. It was a great way just to get our name out there, put ourselves out there. I think that was probably the most beneficial. I wouldn't say they were like super successful by any stretch.
We served at the church we were going to.
Yeah, that's right. We would do a cart. We did a cart in the early days too there at our church.
Yeah, we would like bring our things.
We had a 3-stand pour over deal, and we sold bags with Medic in the early days.
Yeah.
Shout out to who's now Vo. So we like white labeled for them some bags that they took on tour with them, and they sold, which was fun.
We just kind of tinkered with like little startups here and there of where can we fit coffee in, and then when did we? Well, we then like I think maybe it was summer, so we had a little extra free time. And then we went into like our real jobs.
Yeah, we
like our big time jobs.
Yeah, we got
as a teacher. And then you were at a homeless shelter at that time.
Yep. I then started work for a guy, was going to do coffee for him. That ended up falling through.
Yeah.
We had wanted to do our own thing in coffee. That was kind of always the goal. That was always the dream.
It was just like brewing, no pun intended, but it was brewing for a while. Just like, when do we do it? Do we do it? How do we do it? When do we do it?
Yeah, I remember doing like spreadsheets of like how to make it work. What would it look like? What numbers would we have to do to make it happen? And then we both quit our day jobs and went for it.
Freshly married.
Yep, we got married, quit our day jobs. Wouldn't quite recommend that, but it was fun. And we had a lot of fun in those early days. We got a $25,000 loan from your dad, which was which is I think common, right? A lot of people starting off get private funding to kind of make their dreams come true from family, friends, whatever it is. Maybe you have a nest egg. We definitely did not at that point in our lives, being poor and newly married, but
we had people like my parents who believed in us, and your dad even like helped us put the trailer, well, the outside of the trailer together. That was kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
If
so
you're ever getting into, so then we were a food truck.
Yeah. So kind of going back, we decided to do a food truck coffee trailer essentially.
So instead of starting our own brick and mortar, we were going to be just kind of like wherever we want to bring our business. We were in charge of that little box.
Yeah. So the kind of the goal with our food trailer, which like you were saying, my dad helped put the wood on the outside of it. I think we're still Pinterest famous for our coffee trailer.
If you look us up, like, well, not even.
Just type in food.
If you
coffee trailer.
Coffee food truck. Probably.
Yeah, you may see.
You'll see us.
Baby Tyler and Amber.
In so sip. Young.
and we were still sip at the time.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And
we were sip for a while.
Yeah.
For like 3/4 of the time.
Yeah. And so the goal was to go to office buildings in the Denver Tech Center. If you haven't been to Colorado, that's kind of like a business complex. There's lots of office buildings. There's lots of.
Yeah, it's not necessarily like the city, but it's like a
just outside the city, tons of office buildings.
Yeah.
So our goal was, well, if there's a couple thousand people that come to work every day and we can set up a route, hit a couple office buildings, they can, as they're coming in, get their coffee. And then we were going to do events outside of that. And we had already kind of gained some wholesale accounts at that point. We were in green spaces down in Denver.
That's right.
We were in
office building, I don't remember.
yeah, we were in a couple places that were like decent size wholesale accounts that kind of helped sustain us in those early days.
Well, and we also, so with that, like with having the coffee truck, we shared a roaster facility space.
That's right.
With Lost Coffee. Mm-hmm. And that was like a big game changer because we had a place to put our trailer, mm-hmm. and we were able to like make our cold brews. We always made everything from scratch, so we were able to make our syrups and our chai, and everything was created there. I mean, specifically our mm-hmm. beans we roasted there.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. We were able to share that space. So like we started out sharing and gauging and engaging and seeing where we could
you designed the cold brews, we kind of both did the syrups, mm-hmm. Or excuse me, you did the chai. I think I said cold brews.
You did say cold brews, but
you did the chai. We had cold brews, we had tea on tap, we had syrups.
So we took
spirit tea.
Well, we did spirit tea later on, but we started with Cascara, how do you say it?
Yeah, Cascara tea, which is just the coffee cherry that's taken off and dried. You can steep that into a tea. It's actually really delicious. It's
super good. Yeah, we made a sparkling tea.
With Cascara, which was super fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, the going back to our facility with Lost Coffee, that was a Diedrich IR7. It was a 10 kilo, which would do like 20 something pounds at a given time. I think we would typically do like 15 in there.
Yeah.
But it allowed us to roast a lot of coffee at a given time and share space. And so it was awesome to not have to front the money for a large roaster.
Yeah.
And so Scott with Lost Coffee was awesome help to us, in those, in those earlier days, and it went really well initially. We did a lot of events. We put ourselves out there to like, we really just reached out to any event and said, hey, we're a coffee truck, can we come in and do this?
Whatever you can imagine, coffee, whatever event, like we did mm-hmm. that, even like business meetings and Faye Myers, like mm-hmm. motorcycle things. We did weddings. Mm-hmm. We actually, it was pretty cool. We had a wholesale account with our wedding venue where we got married. Yep. So they had our coffee, and then we also were like a coffee bar, like baristas at weddings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that
we did a golf thing.
Yeah, we also did a lot with CenturyLink.
They would
try to go to apartment complexes for their internet service, and they would give free coffee to the apartment complexes. So we would serve for free and hang out with the CenturyLink representative, and it was great. They would pay us like a flat fee.
We were in crevices. Like, if you mm-hmm. can imagine, like, the bottom of, like, a stairs, like, elevator, like, whoop, here we are.
Yeah. Looking back, I think a few things that I would change if we were to do it over again. One, I would say the office building was good, but it wasn't great.
It was a good idea, and I think we could have executed it differently. I guess, like, what's a different idea we could have done? Because an office building is a good idea because usually they have a cafe there, and also on your way to the office, you might be one to like stop at Starbucks or at Dunkin's or something.
I think you nailed it right there. I think what people are super habit forming for their coffee.
Right.
So I think what we struggled to is to change people's habits from going to Starbucks, brewing coffee at their house, or whatever they would do to get their coffee prior to us being their habit. And we definitely did have a good amount of regulars and things like, and it was awesome.
I think still people that like check us out on Instagram and like,
mm-hmm. I think really some cool. people still subscribe, are part of our subscription from those early days, which is cool.
And
shout out Roxy. I think you're one of our first ever subscribers and you came to our coffee trailer. Back in the day. So that's cool.
Oh my God.
Still supports us. Aww. So that's dope. But I think that I wouldn't have done the office buildings. I can't say that I would have I don't know what else would have been better for something regular every day.
However, from the office buildings, we did, like, that's how we met other people.
It did grow our wholesale and grow events, for sure.
So even though it wasn't as successful to be the cafe for a office building,
I would be in, like, a park.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I would be somewhere consistently where there's lots of people. But it'd be kind of an impromptu thing, like, ooh, that sounds good.
Right.
As opposed to, like, hey, I'm going into work. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
So that would be my recommendation. The other thing, it's tough. I've gone back and forth on this. Having the trailer was crucial because it allowed us to do a lot of bigger events and things.
Right.
But also, we used our cart a ton.
That's true.
So I don't know that the cost of the trailer was super worth it for what we could accomplish with the cart setup. Like, we had two carts, we had a hand washing station, we had a rinser for our pitchers, we had everything we needed in our cart setup, and I feel like the trailer was useful and definitely beneficial, but it wasn't necessary.
Maybe it could have been a second thought instead of the first thought.
Yeah, if someone were asking me what to do now, I would tell them, get a cart. You can do pretty much any event you're going to do. You're probably going to be able to manage it with a cart. You can put up a tent if it's raining or the weather's not great to cover yourself. And then you save the upfront cost and massive headache that is getting a food truck, because that was not the most fun process of dealing with who built out our coffee trailer. But
we were also on a time crunch.
Yes.
So we 100%. Had an event, it was 4th of July, and it was our very first event, and also first time ever serving coffee. Like, neither one of us were baristas beforehand. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of training. Thank you, Missy.
Yep.
And Morgan and a couple other people helped us out. But we did a lot of, like, trial and error runs, but we didn't have anything prior coffee-wise. We both have been servers and have been, like, in that industry. But anyways, as it goes, you just learn as you go. And our refrigerator locks, and that's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you learn the hard way. Everything in coffee is glass and breakable. And when you have a food truck...
And spills and sticky.
Yeah, it's...
And everything moves around. Mm-hmm. When in a car, if you were a cart, you know where everything is.
You pack it, yep.
But in a food truck, like, you're not back there
to, like, see things shifting and breaking.
Man, the amount of things.
Yeah, so those days were, like, a ton of fun. I think we had awesome...
A lot of fun learning stuff.
It was really hard, though. It sucked.
Yeah, it was really hard.
And I think the reality is that I was just super immature business-wise at that time. To, like, no, we should have hired someone so much.
We were doing anything and everything. We were working, like, 100-plus hours a week together. Like, this close proximity, which sounds really nice.
Oh, you're newly married, and you'll love it. And it's also really hard.
Yeah.
Because if you don't make it, like, I think it's hard not having something to keep you going. There's two trains of thoughts here, right? Like, jump in head first and just send it. Which is great, and that's what we did. There's also the idea of, like, hey, have a steady income to sustain yourself so it's not super stressful.
Well, because, yeah, like we said, we quit our day jobs, so, mm-hmm. like, we had no other... Well, that's also kind of not true. Like, I got a painting with a twist job.
Those were, like, towards the end, though.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, but, yeah, I think it is important to not... At first, rely on it if you are a couple or maybe mm-hmm. even like a partnership, however.
Yeah, because the reality was this is like, if we weren't doing good that month, we weren't going to have food on our table. Like, there was the pressure that I think we both felt often of like, we've got to keep sustaining this and growing this, which it grew quicker than we could sustain. So that was a good problem to have.
Like, good problems.
We exploded and, I mean,
But we were, like, we were the factory of sip coffee, and we sealed every bag and we weighed every bag, and essentially we do that now, but we now have a better system. But yeah. I say in regards to, like, we were in so many different areas, and we were the delivery people, and we were the event people, and the coordinators, and the accountant, and the, like, there was a time we, like, forgot to lock the back of our trailer, and someone's, like, honking their horn on the highway, like, everything's gonna fall out, and, like,
yeah.
Well, I say that because I brought up the counting in our cash register. Oh, thing that's was right. About I forgot to, like, about that. Fall out.
Just yard sale all our hard-earned money for that day. Yeah, I mean, it was wild. We did a lot in those days. We should have hired someone to, like, do events and other things for us so we could manage it. We could have hired a roaster and someone to deliver for wholesale. Like,
a delivery person would have been nice.
There was a lot that we should have handed off and passed off in those early days, and we just didn't. It was also hard. It was our baby. It was our passion. It was
our livelihood. Like, we put everything into it. But I guess it also... sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think another point of view is to then also understand, like, you can do more than you think you can. And, like, if you are passionate about something, it doesn't have to be coffee, but if you're passionate about something and you're thinking about it and you're praying about it and you're eager to do it and you're anxious about it, like, you should go do it and, like, go all in. Also, just have the perspective to be able to take back and to take a step back and to also hand off a little bit.
Yes,
but just
100%.
Don't think you can't do it. Like, if you are, if this is brewing inside of you, like, you should give it a shot.
Yeah, no, I agree. So when we were at the office buildings talking to people, we always would be asked, like, so what's your story?
Yeah.
And we would tell people, like, well, this is, like, we quit our day jobs. This is what we're doing.
Yeah, essentially what we're telling you.
Exactly. So we then got a letter from a lady who owned Sip Coffee. She stopped doing business and then restarted while we were also Sip Coffee. Turns out having a couple beers and picking a name was not the greatest idea.
It was not a part of this.
However, it was all, like, done in good faith. We saw that there was a Sip Coffee forever ago. She was no longer in business. We were like, great.
So it worked out.
We're fine. Turns out we're not. So we had to...
Well, and the reason why it also wasn't turning out was because people who wanted to contact us were reaching contacting out to her. And so that was a big bummer. And we, like, tried to, like, come to, like, an agreement. Like, hey, we'll just, like, make sure we... Because we were in such a coffee field of, like, involvement and connection and engagement, like, with other coffee vendor people.
Yeah, we did a ton with Corvus, Sweet Bloom, like, Amethyst. There's Copper Door. Like, there were so many great people that we were connected with and whatever, which was awesome. But
that was our goal with her. It just wasn't working out that way, and that's okay.
So New Year's Eve rolled around. We had to take down all of our marketing material that was online. So us, Zach, who was the guy that I first started roasting with, and Nicole, we sat down at a bar in Denver prior to New Year's Eve. And we're like going through Facebook and Instagram, like trying to take down all the stuff. It was so stressful. So it had to be done by midnight of that year. Do you remember what year that was?
2017 into 18.
Yeah. Very good. That was correct. And so it was super stressful. We got it done. I don't think we had a name at that point.
No, I think we did.
Did we have storyline at that point?
Yeah, it was, like, in the works. Because we were okay, we're probably going to change our name. And we, like, really dreamed of it. Like, we didn't just, like...
Yeah, we were way more...
pick of whatever.
We were way more purposeful round two. Because we were big on the story of coffee and
a documentary that we watched called, like, The Story of Coffee, and that was really inspiring. There's layers, obviously, but there's just so much importance of every layer of the part that creates your cup of coffee. And there's such a story behind every bean.
Yeah, from the farmers, the pickers, the processing, the milling, the importing,
us roasting it, delivering it, and then you brewing it at your house is like, there's a lot of...
There's such a story.
Yeah, absolutely. And people would always ask us, like, what's your story?
Like, all the time. And I probably would have done the same, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm waiting for my coffee.
Yeah.
You know, two young kids.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just really cool to be able to tell our story time and time again. And people, like, rooting for that story. And so then it got to be a part of our name. And not only that, but, like... I don't think people understood that we were the craft makers behind the name as well as like the face of the name. And so we really wanted coffee roasters. Like we wanted people to know that we were roasters because that was like really important to us too.
Yep. So yeah, we reached out to Jen. She designed our new logo, which is beautiful.
And like, I remember, and maybe I don't remember how like new she was into like...
typography.
Yeah. But we kind of had like a slight vision and she just like in all the respect, like she's the greatest. But she just like wasn't super excited about it. And me as an artist, like if I'm doing something and somebody's not excited about it, like that, like we just wanted her to be able to do what she wanted to do. So she created it. And I guess that was her first time like taking somebody's name and like doing it as ever she would want to do it.
Yeah, now she's super famous.
That's yeah cool. So it's so cool that she like got to do that for us.
Yeah, so then we that was kind of the beginning of the end for our full-time coffee gig. I think was around that time things were really hard for us. We had done it for a year. It was really successful but also just so hard, like
draining.
Yeah, it was exhausting, and we were tapped. We were newly married. It was financially stressful for us, though it was financially successful. Like, we did $76,000 our first year.
Which is pretty amazing.
Of, like, profit, which was great. So, like, we paid the bills. We had money. You know, it grew really well. We could have kept doing it, but we decided that our marriage was more important than our coffee business.
Yeah.
And so we sold our trailer. We sold the business. And said bye-bye.
In like 2 weeks' time, we had to make that decision. Like, it was all very quick. It was, again, like, probably coming because of exactly what you said. Like, it was just really hard on us, which made it hard to be passionate about the thing we were passionate about, which was both us and also...
And that winter time sucked. Like, yeah. Colorado winters, when you're, like, outside brutal. Trying to fill up a water tank, and it's 3 degrees outside. My
gosh, you guys, it was just, like, thing after thing. Like,
it was hard.
What was that that thing we had to crank off? The generator.
Oh, my God.
we kept there was it an for oil, so long.
There was an oil filter that we had to change the oil filter on our generator.
It was factory generator. Tightened.
It was factory sealed. We took it to an auto shop. They couldn't get it off.
You had to like get like a like an electric. Like, it was... I don't know. We did everything.
We did keep it because it was such a.
And by we, I mean mostly him. Like I it really was just on the sidelines.
Glad you brought that up. I think.
But like to the point of like things got really hard. Like it was just thing after thing. Yep. Like we were driving like an hour and a half just to get to an event. I remember I also was driving. In the snow and our windshield wipers weren't working anymore. Yep. And I'm by myself pulling this trailer through downtown Denver.
Like, yeah. Cause I was doing wholesale deliveries.
Yes.
While
like
you were
it was just like,
event.
We had to be, it
yeah,
was
a lot.
It was just hard. We were like eating dinner at like, you know, 9 o'clock
getting up at the ass
4:35 ish. Like there was a time our laundry got so big. That we took it to the laundromat and we had like
every washer and dryer.
Five to ten. I really don't remember. But the whole back seat was filled with clean laundry at the end of that whole day of doing laundry because we just like couldn't do it.
Yeah,
we didn't have time. We didn't have time for anything.
So I would definitely tell people, hand off the things that you're not passionate about or want to give off. To be successful and to continue to grow, like hire a team, get people on board that then would run your shop and that then would be a part of your next steps. Hire a roaster, hire someone. Like, I think if you feel like it's too much, it's already too much. So you should have hired someone a month or two ago. And I truly believe that.
Well, I mean, set yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. So if it looks hard, think about how you could make it less hard for yourself, and you can't, then that's when you know you need another person.
Yeah, for sure.
So, we just didn't know when and where we need another person. And like everything was so variable, right? Like we didn't know where our next event was. Typically, I mean, like everything was just like mm-hmm. kind of a month in advance. So we just like, we felt so stuck in how to add someone. But Andrew stepped in and kind of did like our website
stuff. Yeah, he did the back end stuff.
He made us t-shirts. We should have wore those.
Yeah,
I guess. Should've. Well, maybe we can't because it's sip coffee.
Yeah, it's weird. So yeah, we then sold the business. That trailer's out there somewhere, maybe.
If you see like a wood panel, I mean, you'll see it on Pinterest, I guess, but we're curious if it's still around.
So we sold the business. We moved to Buena Vista. I got a real job. And we'd never been to BV before. We took a break from coffee.
Yeah, I went back into serving,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot of fun. I love serving. And then I got a teaching job.
And we had some extra money after a little while. Wanted to put that money to work. We got a bullet roaster and got back into roasting coffee with the understanding of, I think there's two ways to really make money in coffee. By volume or by hustling cups of coffee or bags of coffee is one way. So the more, if you have a cafe, the more turnover you have, the more money you're going to make, right? The more lattes you serve and cups of coffee, the quicker you can turn people over, the more money you're going to make. That's one way and method to do it, which would be like the trailer idea. Or you can do wholesale, which is large quantities, less time. For us, I think our wholesale was always pretty successful.
Yeah. Well, it's consistent mm-hmm. mass production.
Yeah, you gain an account. That account's going to last for a long time. You roast that coffee, deliver it, and support your customer well. Mm-hmm. And that's that. So we kind of talked about, like, if we're going to do this again, we're going to grow at our own pace. We're going to do storyline how we kind of want to do storyline, which is wholesale focused. And
I do slightly remember when you first brought the idea of the bullet roaster that it was mainly more like to get back into roasting and probably more for us. But like if we have some friends who want some coffee, great. Like it wasn't.
Yeah, maybe weasel my own now.
It was also 2020 and I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we had that saved up money and I guess some extra time around.
Yeah.
And so yeah, you little weasel.
Got it done. So yeah, we did storyline again. We gained, I'm trying to think. I think Trail Sisters was one of the first, and there were a couple other small wholesale
Trail
accounts.
Noah's, I think.
Yeah. Yep. So we had a couple small wholesale accounts up here. We started selling again online. Justin with Trail Sisters is actually the reason that our coffee subscription looks the way that it is, which is educational focused.
Yeah, he had really good like questions to ask us to get our like business, statement.
Yeah.
Model out. What would you say?
Yeah. So now we really focus on our educational coffee subscription, mm-hmm. Which comes with like an educational video. We kind of dive into whether it be processing methods, varietals, brewing guides, agitation. I mean, I think we've covered so much. It would be fascinating to kind of compile it. I think I could definitely write a couple books.
That was also kind of a goal.
Yeah, it's a maybe. Maybe in the future I'll write a book.
That means he's been thinking about it for a while.
Maybe. We'll see. But yeah, the educational side's always been super fun. So if you're interested in learning more about specialty coffee, that's really kind of one of our focuses. Mm-hmm. through our subscription. So you get coffee with that coffee. You know, if we talk about an experimental processing method, we get like an anaerobic lactic fermented coffee. We send that out. We talk about the processing method. We also give out coffee gear. And our coffee tier one.
We have two tiers. So there's a tier one and a tier two.
Mm-hmm.
Tier one, you get a coffee gear, things like, I don't know if they can see it.
Yeah, scales, WDT tools, sifters. We've done mugs. We've done t-shirts. We've done
hats.
We've done all kinds of stuff.
Stickers. Yeah, we could
just
keep going.
Yeah, tons of gear. So once a month, you'll get gear. You'll get the educational video. Mm-hmm. And that's really a lot of fun. I think 90% of our business is wholesale. Currently, that's where we generate a lot of our profit, is just by reaching out to local businesses, hotels, food trucks, coffee shops, mm-hmm. and being a local specialty coffee roaster here. So we regularly rotate our coffee. We have a lot of tier one coffees that we rotate regularly, and then we have our tier two coffees, which are for like the everyday coffee drinker. Tier ones are going to get a cupping score of 87 or above.
So backtracking just a little bit, because we went from, we moved to BV to then we bought the small bullet roaster.
Mm-hmm.
So we went from bullet roasting, which you could roast 1 pound at a time. Is that right?
Two.
It was two?
2 pounds.
And I remember like you would be there all day long.
Yeah,
to
we
roast,
were
like 40 pounds, and now we can do that
in a lot. Yeah, so yeah. We maxed that thing out like crazy.
Yeah.
And it grew.
He thought he could do this inside our house.
Tried it the first time. It turns out you've got to have a lot of exhaust if you have a bullet roaster. Don't try to do it over the hood of your oven. It doesn't work.
But it is that small. You
yeah.
can like fit it on a
You can carry
table.
It. Yeah, yeah, it's great. The bullet's awesome. It does really great with profiles. If you're looking at getting to roasting, I super recommend the bullet. I think like $3,000 now. So that's great. We did the subscription. We started that. We then...
Did we start out with two tiers? Or was that gradual?
I think that came later.
No, I think maybe it was both.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Don and Roxy... Don's a big time runner, ultra marathoner. He was one of our first subscribers, still supports us regularly. He's awesome and
he's
a freak.
Yeah.
Like runs 250
I've
miles.
I've never personally met him, but I see him
yeah,
through
he's
the
an
screen
animal.
And he's amazing.
Yeah, he set some world records.
You
Anyways,
check him out.
Yeah, run with Don on Instagram. He's awesome. So we did the subscription. We then
And Brock.
And Brock, yep, with Switchback. So yeah, it's been cool because we've connected
so
with
cool
a ton of people.
Yeah.
We'll get into, I know where you're going. We'll get into the shop in Mill City Roaster. But we focus on three things. We do this podcast. We're in season two now, which is exciting. This is really fun because we've been able to connect with people like Brock and just other people in the coffee industry. This season, I think we're going to kind of focus on people that are doing coffee differently. Whether it just be with a coffee cart or that maybe focus on a particular niche or whatever that may be, we're going to be looking at just how someone may have done something differently, like an air roaster. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to talk to people like that. So we do our podcast. We do the subscription, which is educational, and you get dope coffee sent to you, which is really great. And then the third thing is wholesale, which leads us to the roaster we got. So obviously we outgrew the bullet.
And I do want to say something about the subscription too. It just makes it easy. So you don't have to like think about
yeah.
your coffee. Like we will send it straight to your door or we deliver right to your door if you're here locally. And yeah, it's just, we're kind of the milkman, but coffee.
Yep. So then we got a Mill City 6 kilo roaster.
2 years ago now?
May. One. It's been like a little, a year and a half that we've had it.
I was pregnant with Luca, I think.
Yeah. So Mill City was awesome. We looked at a bunch of different roasters. They're affordable. They also have awesome customer service. They helped us a ton with setting up like the gas and the exhaust and everything that we needed, the layout. Like, they take tons of time talking to you over the phone, answering all your questions. Mm-hmm. They'll do, like, I don't know how many times I've FaceTimed or like done a video Skype chat with them if something ever goes wrong.
Yeah, they're totally like willing to help.
Yeah, they're great.
And guide and support.
So we bought it's a shed, but it looks like a tiny home.
Yeah, it's a little porch.
We bought that from some friends, Cameron and Madison. Those with Growing Wild.
Helped us.
Oh my God, move just that like thing.
Move all the things.
Which was terrifying. Yeah. So they drop off this massive roaster and you have to get a forklift.
Crates, like 3, 4, 5 crates? I don't remember.
We had to get it in this little shed or tiny home. And it was so terrifying because you're like, oh, that's only $28,000 just hanging on two forks. And
easy.
No problem. We got it in there. I drywalled and insulated the whole thing and did all the stuff myself. Yeah. A lot of work.
I came and helped and painted.
Yeah.
But you did everything.
Yeah.
All while...
We had someone do the electrical.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really
good. But outside of that, yeah, we did everything. So... We got a Mill City 6-kilo roaster, which we do 12 pounds at a given batch, which gives us 10 out. We can do 40 pounds in an hour, and it's awesome. We hired Catherine first. She was our first roaster, yeah. Production roaster, trained her how to roast.
Did we hire her? When did we hire her? Was it like
this right time last? I think it was this time last year.
So we were doing it still ourselves, which Catherine was our first hire ever.
Yeah, we should have done that forever ago. Yeah. Because it's so much easier. Like, training someone, one, is fun. Two, their passion. Like, most people that want to be a coffee roaster have some desire to know coffee, and they're somewhat passionate about it. It's not just a job for them.
It's such a science. It's so interesting and engaging, and it's so, in your cup. Like, it's part of the story.
Yeah, Catherine was great. She roasted for us for like 6-8 months.
Well, the reason why I was asking is, so we were still doing it ourselves for, I guess, like half a year-ish.
Yeah,
in the,
for sure.
The Mill City before we then
hired before somebody. We hired someone. Yeah. Yeah, learned the roaster, learned the profiles, like got all of the things dialed in.
Which didn't take too long.
No, it's,
you had good, like...
I mean, at that point, I'd been roasting for like 7 years. So it's not crazy different to like get used to a machine. You know, you learn it and figure it out. Mm-hmm. But it's not, once you understand the fundamentals of roasting, it's not rocket science from there. You can get super complex with it and into the weeds just like with anything. But at the basics, it's not crazy.
So then, we hired Catherine.
She went to Idaho.
She left us.
We hired Shyla.
And then we hired Shyla.
She's still with us. She's awesome.
Thanks, Shyla.
Yeah, she's great. She had always wanted to roast. She's a scientist, which is dope. She does a lot of like medical research and stuff, which is cool.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And understands, what's the term for rocks?
Oh, she's a geologist.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. Which is cool because like they like her and her husband just moved out here and I think they're loving it. Even though like things have been hard, but that's her story.
Yeah, so here's what I would tell people. Find what you're passionate about and what you are really good at. If it's customer service and doing a cafe, do a cart. Find someone to roast for you. That's passionate about that, or find a roaster that will supply you really great coffee. If you're really into roasting, then find someone who's really passionate about doing a cart or doing retail and have them do that. I would say that I think is one of the biggest things I've learned is like find your specialty and be really good at that. And you know,
so what are you passionate about right now with Storyline Coffee Roasters?
I'm excited for season 2 of the podcast. I love roasting coffee and sourcing coffee. Like I love looking for new importers and new coffees that we can bring in. I'm passionate about like the business side of things. And it's just, it's a fun side hustle. So it's not my full-time gig. I have another job that's my day job. And yeah, so this is a super awesome side hustle that allows us to stay connected in the coffee industry. And it's a lot of fun. We're the only specialty coffee roaster out here in the mountains of Colorado, in this area, I should say. And it's great. We love it. We love connecting with our wholesale clients and supporting them. And it's a lot of fun. So
that's... Yeah, should we name off the places we're in?
Yeah, I mean, so, if you're in BV or Salida, we're in Midland, we're at the Long Table, we're at the Lariat,
We're in Veya, if you see them, they're a coffee truck.
Yep, Flamingo down in Poncha.
Yeah.
We are in...
other food trucks around.
Yep, we're in High Rocky Cuisine, we're in Peaks and Pita, we're in Valley Fellowship Church, we are in Noah's. Luna Libations, they're another truck and bar. Right. I think that's everyone.
I hope so.
And Growing Wild.
Of course.
The flower shop, Cameron and Madison, we sell our jars there.
Yeah.
I think that's everyone.
The places you can find our jars, so if you want to just like buy our beans, would be Midland, Growing Wild.
The Long Table White Labels.
Yeah, so you can grab a bag of coffee and it's our coffee, which is cool.
Yeah.
But you can find us online as well, obviously. And you can be a part of our subscription. Maybe you're wondering like what I do besides just root this guy on.
Pretty much everything behind the scenes.
I mean, I like to be behind the scenes. But so, I get to write your labels.
Write the labels. She does the chai.
And the chai.
It does a lot of the like behind the scenes stuff, all the nitty gritty things.
There's a lot of behind the scenes. You do a lot too.
That is true. Anyways, if you guys have any questions about starting a coffee roasting company, getting into roasting, doing a coffee trailer, a coffee cart, the numbers behind it, like what it would cost. The $25,000 and the $76,000 that we made was back in 2017-2018. So I'm sure those numbers were skewed because of inflation and things. But we're excited for season 2 of the Specialty Coffee Podcast. Thanks so much for checking us out.